It's political season. I'm here in the nation's capital, the epicenter of the beast. So as you can see, I'm repping DC today to let them folks know we from this DC area. I know you're a bright sunny California, but this is your home away from home.
Yes, sir. I was born in DC, Columbia Hospital for Women, but it is no longer there. But I was properly, as they say in Britain, proper DC. I was born in DC.
It is where you're here. You're here. Nothing wrong with that. You know, as we were just saying, you know, it's political season. So DC is the hotbed. You have political parties, you have Congress, you have lobbyists. Everybody is vying for that seat, that power seat, to say they are the leader of the so-called free world. So, you know, walking around here, it's thick in the air. It's very dicey. It's a lot of division. It's almost like a fanatic who's rooting for their favorite football team. And it's like, it's win at all costs.
Are you hearing a lot about Trump in the DC spaces? Because most of that is Democrat, right? Or
DC, DC in DC in Maryland, definitely this is more liberal leaning territory. So what I find is, even where I live, you'll see Trump places usually in the counties, maybe like in the northern parts of Virginia or even southern parts of Virginia, that you would see Trump. But majority of the people you see here are pretty much voting for Democrat or leaning Democrat.
Same here.
So and that's interesting, because when you start to listen to the talking heads, look at the polls, if you only focus on your environment or your small circle of influence, you would get a distorted view of what you think reality is. So everyone here, I don't care who it is, if it's a client, it's a colleague, anyone on the street, in their mind is like, who will vote for the other side? Because in their world, they don't know anybody who either thinks on that side of the aisle or knows anybody who is actually a registered Republican or independent, so on and so forth. So in this insulated think tank is strictly Democrats and left-leaning. All. So you said this is the beast.
Yeah, so same thing here in California. All the coasts are going to, for the most part, not all of it, because Burbank is Trump. And Southern Orange County, from what I remember, is also more conservative. So they would be more Trump leaning. But the interesting factor for me has been doing work in Georgia, especially in the northwest portion of Georgia. It is conservative town, and you see Trump flags. I seen one house I was driving by, and they had the poster of him like this with the blood on his ear. So I was like, hey, this is...
Dude's a martyr.
Man.
Teflon Don.
Yeah, for real. And a good friend of mine is running for Congress on the Democratic ticket. And, you know, we're supporting him. Not that either of us are any particular party. So I do want to say that we're not... I guess we would be considered independents. As you said earlier, there's so much division that happens when you're only one side of the process, or one side of the spectrum, without having the consciousness and understanding or awareness that both sides are two wings of the same bird. So though one party is leaning or pushing toward one particular issue, the other party is trying to get you on the other side. But at the end of the day, they're still unified in the spoken, or the areas that people don't take the time to understand what's actually happening or what is really happening behind the closed doors. But in this season, as the scripture says, knowledge will increase, and that the Most High is exposing. And we're seeing a lot of exposure on so many different levels, whether you're looking at celebrities or politicians. The internet and the information age is causing everyone's stuff to be laid out in the forefront, and their powers are being challenged and broken at the same time. So it's really interesting to see how things are going to play out in these next couple of weeks that will impact or reverberate into different parts of the earth, because everyone still looks at America as the super world power. Although it's being challenged in one way or another, America still has the largest army, or at least capability. So at the end of the day, that's who runs the world. Like,
supposedly.
Right. Yeah. According supposedly. To man. According to man. Exactly.
But, you know, a part of it. So when you mention even military and the military might, when we look at the world powers, superpowers, you know, I've always wondered for a long time, even maybe in the last 8 years, the different, I want to say wars, but interactions we have with other countries. So whether it's Russia, whether it's Korea, because when we look over there, you have to go back in history as to see why a country is an ally and one, why another country is an adversary. Mm-hmm. Because when we were growing up, you know, the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, the Cold War. So, and even at that time, it was like, yes, Russia. Even in the Olympics, it was like, we got to beat Russia, because it was always U.S. against Russia. And then that so-called country fell, and now it's rising again with Putin. Mm-hmm. And then now Putin's there, and it's like, okay, here again, our adversary, they're waking up again. Now we have to put sanctions. We have to do this. We have to do that. But what, in your opinion, what gives nations the right to try to govern? Or who says you are the world superpower, that you are in charge? Is it a governing body? Is it the NATO, the different summits they have that they put these, or is it the countries themselves who place themselves on top of the pedestal? Because I've always wondered that, how people come to that conclusion that United States is the superpower of the world. Because in all accounts, when you look at economies, you look at different things, like, is that so? Because even being here, you can sense and tell the fragility that is almost like a house of cards. Mm-hmm. So yet on one hand, you're the greatest. And on the other hand, one slip, one divestment from another world's economy, you're in trouble. So what do you think about that?
It's them unseen powers I learned about back when I was in school. I'm seeing it clearly. It's like Nini's the one who set the rules. It's a spiritual war first, right? Mm-hmm. And then that spiritual reality is passed down through bloodlines. So the first war is the enmity that we read about in Genesis chapter 3. I will put enmity between your seed and, speaking to the serpent or the fallen one, Satan or Lucifer, your seed and her seed. So Satan has a seed line. That's important to underscore, right? People who are born of the fallen, whether you're looking in Genesis chapter 6, where it talks about the mixing of Nephilim, human and supernatural beings coming together, which right now, obviously, when you hear these kind of things, it sounds, because of the movie industry and different things of that nature, that sounds folklorish, it sounds fable, it sounds allegorical, it sounds a bunch of different things, which may have certain elements of it that is true, but there is a literal sense to it as well, which finds itself in certain bloodlines or blood types that have made allegiance with pacts, rituals, and family lines that have aligned themselves to do certain things toward destruction, right? And that destruction gives you power. So that's why those who has the biggest army has the most power. Those who commit the most treason against humanity or against nature builds up the highest levels of currency that propels in the earth realm to control it, because of this idea we call capitalization, which is connected, as R. Williams said in his book, Capitalism is Slavery. So America was able to unify itself around one thought: power through economics and through weaponry. So when America was being developed or taking all of the native lands, and I read an article today that I think it was about 1 billion plus acres that were taken from the native indigenous peoples of this land. The ones that we call Native Americans, the ones that we call First Nation people, you call them all types of different names, but those people, over a systematic way of time, the Indian Removal Act that pushed people from out of the East, North, into the West, and then putting them into containments, or as some would say, what was happening to the Jewish folks, concentration. You have to look at the root word for everything that we have, because then you can understand the psychological that creates the mechanism and the synergy to physically manifest as a certain reality. Like we call something a state. That means it's been put into a particular county or containment or country, locked in, and then governmental, govern the mental, the way you think, the way you see. And these elite crats, what is autocrats, bureaucrats, whatever crat you want to say, the crats came together and began to think, and this is across the bloodlines or across the colors, as we say in America, black, white, these are all constructs that categorizes people, right? So you have the crats, the aristocrats, the ones who run the money systems. They are the ones who actually have the power to maneuver, but they have people up front that we call politicians that serve the biddings of corporations, people groups that govern or have the control over large amounts of money, real estate, transactions, so forth and so on. And that's across the board. So the crats are all over the world. The money and the power is coming from groups and peoples that have been passed down for generations. Like you have the Medici family, or you have Charles and all these European families that over time passed it down through bloodline, through nepotism, through all these different areas, and they know who they are, right? So if you look at even, there's a young girl, I think it's online that you can check it out, where she was able to trace every president back to King Charles, even Obama, all of them could be traced back. And it's a bloodline sort of thing. But when we get back to the scriptures, where you say that bloodline enmity in Genesis chapter 10, it talks about the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth. Okay, now we can discuss the differences of how some of the translation may have been skewed. But the point of the matter is the scriptures break down these high level tiered root systems of families. Mizraim, Put, Canaan, and Cush were the four sons of Ham, which I believe is Japheth, but cool. And then Japheth had his family members, Gomer, Magog, Tubal, Meshech, Tyrus. Those are seven G7. The G7 is there as well. And those are in the Isles. They call those the Gentiles. So if you want to hear more about Gentiles and contracts, that's a podcast we did a while back. But those are the European, Asian, Arab nations. Some of the Arab nations would still be on Shem and Ham's side because it's on the continent, right? So you have these different bloodline groups and they keep themselves in certain alignments. Even if you pass it all the way down to Rome, right? Where the New Testament, quote unquote, was written and deemed as the highest level of authority on scripture or inspiration of scripture, which went through their translations. And then you have the Roman Catholic Church. Once the Roman Catholic Church had its sort of breakdown, remember, it's missionary, mercenary, military. Those are the three tiers. And missionary would be any religious group, Peace Corps, any of those groups who come in peace, right? Or come to do philanthropic work, all that. That would be missionary status. Then you have mercenary. Who are the mercenaries? Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates or
crusades.
The privateers, the Christopher Columbus's, the Pirate Morgan, the Sir Francis Drake's, all those guys were the ones who started these businesses, the Dutch Indian companies and all those different groups that built all of the massive wealth that all these other companies have just built upon. They just changed names. Like you had Chase, which was Washington Mutual, and then they flip it and they go back to this and that. So it's all still the same people. Or you have the Knights at the Round Table, what are now called, well, the House of Lords or the Congress. Or these are all replications of the same councils of people, which finds itself all the way back to the garden, which would be, as they call it, Mizraim or Egypt. Thus why you have the big obelisk in the middle of DC, which represents Afro peoples. But that's a whole nother trail of conversation that we can talk about another time. But to bring it full circle with your question, as you keep going down in the early 12th to 14th century, you had 15th century, you have the Holy Wars, which is still going down. because religion runs it all. All of the presidents, all these leaders, whether it's Putin or Kim Jong-un or any of these people they call dictators or fascists and all these different terms that they put on people, ultimately have some sort of spiritual tradition that they commit to, whether they're Christian, Muslim, Hindu, whatever it is, right? So it's always tacked to something spiritual. So the spiritual realm is the governing body, because church and state was what? Catholicism. Once papal bull gave freedom to privateers or private companies to go in and loot with the blessing of the Roman Catholic Church. Then once that broke up during the Reformation or the protest, the Protestants with Martin Luther in the 1700s, when he tacked his thesis on the wall and ran off and saying that the just shall live by faith and da-da-da-da, they realized, hey, we got to change it. We can't just be priests anymore because that ship has run. We have to become an order. We have to become order, which was what? The Jesuits and then the Knights Templar. And then from the Knights Templar came out the Masonic and then so forth and so on. So just like you see in the church, the Catholic Church birthed the Protestants, then the Protestants birthed the Pentecostals. And so these are all alignments that find itself in its root in Genesis chapter 3, which was the enmity, Genesis chapter 10, which was the spread into culture. And then anytime there was a rebellion, there was groups of people, the crats, that thought that they were better than the poor, usurped their authority over the poor, and began to set up their orders. And then it just went all the way down to now we have what we call politicians, we have state, we have this and that. And the people who are properties or citizens of the state or citizens of the country or citizens of the republic or citizens of the corporation have to abide by what is told. So a part of this whole the rule of law that is for the citizens. Then they changed the language, like I said earlier, and it turned from indentured servant to employee and all these different things. But at the end of the day, you do not have your complete freedom unless you understand what is happening, how it's happening, and trace it back to spiritual realities and bloodlines.
It's interesting because, you know, as you go down the list, you know, back in, I'll say in high school, you remember when we used to have Bible study and we used to go and we're in Genesis and it would talk about this person beget that person, beget that person. And you really don't understand why they keep linking the from the beginning, the lineage and the legacy is going down, because everybody's linked to somebody. So when you go down that tree, that organizational structure, as you would, when we look at it from a business standpoint, you will see the linkages of father, son, daughter, offspring, and then what that connection is. Because as they say, the apple doesn't fall too far from that tree. So when you start to see traits, when you start to see personalities, you start to see certain things, it, just as we spoke, and I know in a previous podcast of, you know, just geographic locations. As my mom used to say, that's the mountain regions. This is how they operate over there. Or, oh, the Ashantis, oh, they operate like this. And it's the same thing with the generations, you know, of certain families and bloodlines. Cain falls into this spectrum. So when you start to see certain things, you're like, oh, that's from that seed. You know, and that's how you look at it.
Because the seed, like you said, the fruit is always going to show. That's what you have to pay attention to, is what people do, not what they say. Because they can hit you with all type of spells, all type of propaganda, all types of lies, all types of showmanship in one way or another to show their eloquence and their ability to communicate and know the issues. Like I'm watching some of the proponents and seeing how they go and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And then I trace it back to whether they did it when they were president or when they were senators or when they were vice presidents or whatever they did when they were in office. And all they did was follow suit for the most part. Trump, on the other hand, is a little bit different there. He doesn't necessarily follow suit because he isn't a politician. He's a business person. And as a business person, whether a failed business person or all those, that's a different conversation. But he is a business person. So he approaches it from a way that appeals to America, because in the root of capitalism is business. And the politicians, the Democratic side, at least now, although it has changed, because Democrats at first was the one oppressing and sicking dogs on Afro peoples and so forth and so on. And the Republicans were trying to free the slaves in order to give them freedom or to fight in the war, depending on what perspective you're looking at it from. Once they saw that they were losing and they saw that the British were using the Afro peoples, they were able to bring them in and so forth and so on and give them a sense of freedom. But all they did was went, like Kanye said, from the South to the North, which that's not a disrespect to the Underground Railroad, but it is to say that if you're under the auspices or the control of entities, powers, or people that you don't know where it starts, you're always going to be in the mix and think that you're okay.
There you go. It's like you're walking in quicksand, or you're in a hamster wheel, or what's the song Bob Marley has?
Rat race.
Rat race. That's good. You're always going to be in a rat race, because, and I hear about it all the time, because, you know, people, like, they always talk about the systems, it's systematic, we got to do this, but yet still their existence is what keeps the system and the cycle going, because nobody wants to stand against the tide. No one wants to be that sacrificial lamb. Nobody wants to be the one, the odd man out that everyone is looking to. So it becomes group and the mob mentality. And so, you know, everyone is doing it, that's it. And even people who oppose, they're the ones who are very quiet. So they'll be in the midst of the people, really not going for it, but they're very scared to say anything, because you just don't know what type of consequence will result from that. You mentioned Trump. You know, one thing, because someone had mentioned today, we were in a conversation and she was saying, you know, he's not this, he's not that. I said, I think the one thing the most so-called smartest people in the room don't realize, his election was a referendum or basically the majority of U.S. citizenry pretty much given the political system the middle finger. They were saying, you know what, we just have so much disdain, and we know you guys don't do what you're going to say you're going to do, that we'll put somebody in there who is not you, who will rebel. And that's a part of the reason why a lot of the establishment didn't like him. Why? Because he hasn't been trained, prepped, or he hasn't gone through the process to say, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. So it's almost like a wacko, a crazy person in, whoa, we cannot give this seat to this person. We can't do that, because that's dangerous, because then that would expose and what has been happening. He's almost like a loose cannon, because he can't eloquently say what's going on, but he's giving you an idea of what's going on. And that's what's fearful to a lot of these politicians, because if you have been trained under that system, you know the decorum, you know how to keep your poker face on. You can literally lie to the people, but make it sound so well. But him is just totally different, because he will go off the cuff, because he's an average, or he's a regular person who is not, like I said, not trained and hasn't gone through that tutelage to understand how to play that game of politics. So he's,
but he has money, he's a business person, so it's similar but it's different.
Totally different, because in this this world of business is totally different. That's why I always say he miscalculated this whole thing, because when he came in, he wasn't opposed. A lot of people didn't have an opposition to him. So all the things you're hearing now about what do you call it, the his dad was a bad landlord, we used to raise rents, previous to him be running for office, no one cared about that. The Apprentice, he was in music. Everybody was like, oh, I want to be Trump. The art of the deal. Everybody was talking about Trump. As soon as he aligned himself in politics and said, I'm on this side, whoa, all that stopped. Then all the enemies came out. So as you remember, when he was going through the political process, he was showing you, like, oh, that was my friend. We took pictures here. Hey, Mitt Romney, you talking trash, but you were in my office basically begging me for money because you wanted my endorsements. Oh, Hillary, we got pictures. Like, they were all friends. So, and that's the game we play, you know, they're all friends behind the scenes, but in the midst of the people, the entertainment aspect of life in which we have, which is our norm, we find that everybody's going to play to their base. So, you know what? We hate this. They hate this. They're the boogeyman. They're going to take away your freedoms. But when you really look at it, you're all doing the same thing. And then this is why a lot of voters, what do we call them? Single issue voters, because it's usually one thing or the other. So right now, if you go into YouTube, you go somewhere, there's only two things you're going to hear. One side is going to talk about abortion. The other side is going to talk about immigration. Why? Because they know, to the people that they lead, or the people that have a lot of their emotions and heartstrings, those are the main issues that they can talk to get them to go vote. Even if it doesn't even apply to them. They know, they have learned to a complete science what ruffles the feathers of the people, whether they're atheists, whether they're Buddhists, whether they're Christian, they know how to do it. So this is why you would see this thing being propagated over and over again. And once the election's over, all these social issues go out the door. They don't talk about it anymore. And then it would resurface again another 4 years.
Smoke screens, though. Yeah, but it's smoke screens for other things that are happening. We got wars going on. There's a World War III brewing. But once again, scripture already told us these things were going to happen. But because it doesn't happen as we think it should, we think, oh, that's already been done, da 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 da. No, you got to read it in context. Everything is about context and also discernment. The Most High has to bring discernment. Because the scriptures, all it does is point to seasons, right? And everything's in cycles. Nothing we're seeing is new. It's just showing up a little differently based on decisions made before and decisions made in the present that are going to shape the future. And it shows up and materializes in that way. Just like 9 is the highest number, period. After 9 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 12, 14, 24, 20 is still not higher than 9. It's just combinations of the same. So if we understand those things to be true, and we understand that these different groups understand, as they will call, occult knowledge or knowledge base that has spiritual realities that govern or directs how and why and when they do certain things. And you talk about the geometrics or the numbering systems of the scripture, the numbering systems, whether it be 40 days, 40 nights, you see that a lot in scripture, or you see 3 days, or you see 7, which if you do Enoch's calendar, 364 days in a year, which is the calendar that I subscribe to, because if you divide it by 52 weeks, is exactly 7. If you put 365 days, 52 weeks is 7.01. That's the equilibrium being thrown off that people don't pay attention to, that the crats understand the power of rhythms, frequencies, and these sorts of things. Like right now we're in the month of October, but octagon is 8, but it's in 10. So though you may not understand all those concepts, you have to have an awareness to say, you know what, that does, that makes sense. I need to open myself, avail myself, but people are afraid to do that because we've been only trained to only think one sort of way. So once you start talking about that, it automatically cognitive dissonance, and you chalk it off and you put it into a stereotype, conspiracy theorist or wacko or folklore or fake or you got religion, or you got to put it somewhere so you can think. So that shows that you're actually not a real thinker. You're just smart within systematic ways of being. The system has created the construct, and you're really good within those borders, just like cattle. Cattle learning farming co has changed everything for me, because everything where big cities are like big barn houses. You go in there, they feed you, they give you water, they let you go to Whole Foods, they let you go to Food for Less or whatever your choice is, McDonald's. You go get your food, you do your thing, you go sleep, and you go back into work, and you work the ground and you produce. But now they said, okay, let's take that agricultural principle, put it into industrialization, and let's now push it to the point that not only are you producing, but you're also consuming. So we are a producing consumer state, the whole state, and then you have individual states. Because remember, America was broken up into many European nations that were pushing their outskirts here, whether they were jail people or people who were looking for a new life or people who were on the fringes, whatever, they all come into the Newfoundland, which was already founded, but for them it was Newfoundland. So you have to understand when people are talking, who they're talking to and what they're referring to. If they don't consider you to be an American or a citizen, and they say all Americans, but you think because of the terminology that has been given to you that you're American, you're going to be thinking that they're talking about you, but they're talking to the crats and their friends. Right? So once you begin to understand the different codes and the different systems and how it operates, you begin to see, oh, we're not in the conversation. That's why we keep begging for a right, a seat at the table, when that's never going to happen, because the Dred Scott case already told us that. He thought back then
he was never in it.
If he wasn't in it, and though they shrouded in different ways and we keep seeing the same thing happen over and over again, at some point they're going to say, oh, they don't even know what's going on. They're totally checked out. All you have to do is give them a ball. All you have to do is give them a mic. All you have to do is give them some money. Give them some fashion. Give them anything that's going to make them feel like they're in charge of themselves, and push them over there, and they'll be okay. That's how they've labeled a whole group of people, because those group of peoples don't fully understand who they are or what they have, whether it's in the continent, off the continent, or in the diaspora. Because on the continent, they want to come here and they don't realize what my friend said so powerfully today is the continent, the garden, aka Africa, is the greatest place to live. The problem is the systems don't work. Mm-hmm. That is profound. The systems don't work.
You said the systems don't
work? That changes the way you look at it. You think, oh, mm-hmm. these are shithole countries and these is bad and these they're poor. No, let's look at the facts. Minerally, hands down. Populations, hands down. When given the opportunity, you see what happens. The first to do this, the first to do that. But the systems they're using is elephant system and they're lions. Or they're, you know, donkey systems, mm-hmm. but they're not elephants.
And the systems have come from outsiders.
That's my point.
That's what they're using. From the from the educational system, the economic system, just all the systems that other entities have brought, those influences, that's what's not working.
So logic will tell you what, how would you change that? Forget about what that means. Actually, how would you change that? What would the common sense tell you?
Go back to what you know.
Get rid of the system. Yeah. That's it.
Get rid of it. It's not working. So, and you know, it's the same thing globally, because you find the same thing here. It doesn't work. So I was having this conversation with someone and I was saying how they were talking about economies and they were talking about, well, you know, people need to go to college. People need to do this. But I said, okay, how did your grandfather, how did those people survive? Well, they had trades. I said, oh, great. Glad you brought up trades. Where did the trades go? Because the same skills for those trades are still relevant today. But yeah, they used to be in the schools. They took them out. Who took them out? Why did they take them out? And why did they usher in this new thing of higher education? Everybody must go. But yet still, they kind of cherry picked on which regions, what type of people they wanted to move into those areas. So now we see today a whole bunch of people that have started college, maybe they didn't finish, or a whole bunch of people who have degrees, but they can't do anything with it. But then now you go, look, I have a lot of clients. You go to these suburbs, plumbers, electricians, they own the businesses, HVAC, 10, 15 employees, no high school, no college education. They just understood business. They multiplied. Now they have franchisees and they have enterprises there that they employ people. But so-called the people who are smarter than them are what?
Want to work for them.
They're relying on other entities in order for their survival.
There you go. They're good within the system. They're smart in the system. They're not intelligent. And the thing we got to remember is agricultural, they took that, they multiplied it, or as I like to say, they alchemized it, which would be through those secret knowledges, and made industrialization. So now you're not only sowing seeds of time for a harvest of a check, you're now moving into a new space that once that has run its course and we did the higher education and that's kind of run amok and people are saying like, well, why would we even need higher education? So forth and so on. Now we have come to a place of what? Technology. So those trades are now being replaced with computers, which are coming still from the people, but they're downloading them and putting them into AIs, which is all of our information that's being put into the web or the cloud. Scripture talks about the prince of the power of the air, the cloud. So if you don't understand the symbolism, which is a part of how scripture operates, because the scripture is all different types of genres of literature. You have allegory, but there is the literal. And in most cases, it's all of them just at percentages. So this might be 20% literal, 40% allegorical, but the principle shoots through all the way. So what I'm starting to understand now and how the Most High is opening my overstanding and understanding to anything is, can this principle you're learning sit outside of the realm of a book, scripture, or what have you, and stand true on its own in different metrics? The more you do that, the more you're going to know the truth. You're going to know the truth. And then the scriptures just help you to actually compartmentalize it in a way that you can live it in a daily way. But you have to have that understanding. And most of the leaders don't. And what did Amos say? In the last days, there will be not only a famine of food and pestilence and so forth and so on when the Most High's judgments are coming.
But knowledge.
But a knowledge of the word, like the true word, not the written books that have been tampered with, but can you read between and through the lines? That takes the power of the Spirit, The spirit has to lead you, your intuition, your internal person, that dimension of you that is more alive than the physical, because what, you sleep a whole lot. And that's that realm I'm talking about. Your mind, you can be talking to yourself. I can say something to myself right now and hear it in my voice, mm-hmm. and Cole can't hear nothing I'm saying. But I hear it in myself, just like you hear it in yourself. That's the real you. Regardless of how brainwashed we may be at this point or how things have been presented to us, these are all systems that have kept those things into consideration and has built those systems. And we're realizing that those systems have to bow. Every system must bow once the Most High begins to raise the level of awareness, or once human beings begin to call back out, seek the Most High, even if it's just a few. It doesn't take a lot of them. It just takes a few of us to begin to do it, and you'll see the physical environment begin to change. That's what happened with the example of Moses. Moses is out there in the biggest, which, like I said, the obelisk that's up in all the pyramids on the bottom, on the back of the dollar, represents the power of Pharaoh, Egypt, and Mizraim, or the power of the continent, the Holy Land, how powerful it really is and was, and that all the wealth, this is many economic professors have said this, the wealth of the West is dependent on the garden.
Everybody.
But why is that? Because what did the Most High say to Abram? Land flowing with milk and honey, and out of you will all of the nations be blessed. So that's why people had to come in, mm-hmm. and take the identity, take the land. And there's a new scramble for Africa. And it's not like the way the 1884, this is the 2024. And everybody's trying to put their bid in for the next 100, 200 years. But what they don't realize is that this is the years of the return since 2020. And this is the fifth year of us in the awakening, and the Most High is waking up, and he's exposing the wicked. He's revealing the atrocities and the malfunctions and the perversions of all these people. We've been worshiping these idols, and he's bringing them to the forefront, and he's beginning to expose them as they are. And if my people who understand me, not religion, I'm talking about knowing the Most High, not saying that people who ascribe to religious views can't know the Most High, but they need to understand what they've been believing and go through that journey to find the real truth. Because he said, narrow is the pathway and few will find it. And most people who ascribe to these religious points of view don't even follow it on the basic level of treating your neighbor, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So how can they call themselves or walk in that light? And then the easier thing to do in Christianity is like, don't judge, or you don't know my personal walk with the da-da-da-da. You shall know them by their fruits. That is it. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, we can see, and we will judge it.
We can look at the fruits and be like, it's all lies. we can look at the fruits and be like, yeah,
we will judge
it.
You're supposed to judge. Judge for myself. I need to be able to. I need to know what's happening and make a judgment.
That's right. That's right.
If I judge you, it doesn't matter anyway what I think. I can say you're an idiot, or I can say whatever I want about you. So stop being sensitive. Yeah, judge them.
You want to be judged. See, I'm glad you said that, you know, because I was telling someone how a lot of people are very unaware. They don't have self-awareness. Oftentimes, because you're not looking at the mirror and you're not seeing the real you, sometimes people can experience you and show you things about yourself. But once you have those defense barriers up, you can't judge, that's just defeating the purpose, because you don't want to hear, you don't want to listen, you don't want accountability. And because of that, you're a dangerous person. So like you said, if you can't be told what to do, or you won't lend your ear to hear truth, because the scriptures talk about they'll turn to itching ears. Why? They're going to turn away. So Proverbs talks about there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a time for everything. But as you said, I'm glad you mentioned this, that you have to have discernment, because if the Bible says that Adam walked with God, so he knew he had the lineage of the direct communication. A sheep will hear, my sheep hear my voice. So if you're in a direct alignment, in communion, you will understand the comings, the goings, the seasons, mood shifting, atmospheres going. Because it's almost like the animals. Like, we know when it's the changing of the season, but what, the birds go south for the winter. They don't have to be reminded of that. Immediately, you start to see birds, when the weather, they immediately go. When trouble's coming, brewing, you hear the animals start to take off. They felt and manifested something already in their world that human beings haven't been privy to yet, but it's coming. So, and it's the same thing. If you're in alignment.
Well, we've been desensitized to understanding. We used to have that sense, but we lost it following these systems. It made you a caricature. It made you an NPC. It made you,
there you go,
just
the
a follower.
We're being inundated with so much stuff that, like you said, it's clogging the communication lines. There's a lot going on. So, and let me give you an example. Just yesterday morning, I called one of my sisters. She's a professor. And the first thing I said, hey, did you get that exercise in? What'd you have for breakfast? And I just said that jokingly. She's like, brother, I think I gained 30 pounds. I need to get my life together. That one comment took us into like maybe a 2-hour discussion, because I said, yeah, you know, the other day I was looking at this this East Indian doctor who was talking about food. And then it caught my attention because he said that you need to be eating foods that have a high water concentration. So basically he was making the comparison that the Earth's surface is what? 70%, over 72% water. The foods you need to be eating have the same composition. And he was saying those foods are fruits and vegetables by nature. They're more water, which means it's easy digested. And this is what your body's akin to. Because that same day I went out and bought all this fruit. I said, I need to start eating more fruits. So when I heard that, and then she said, yeah, there's a guy on YouTube. And that one, I said, oh, I think it's Sand Guru. Yeah, it was Mr. Sand Guru, East Indian. He was talking about those same principles. So even though we weren't in direct
Dr. Sabi said that a long time ago. We didn't want to listen to the brothers.
But it's about, so those are the truths that exist, mm-hmm. that once again, when you're constantly in this, I won't call it a hellhole matrix, but everything is processed. Stuff that's literally killing everything. You. And we have real foods and we don't eat real foods anymore. We eat like foods or foods that are
food-like
or been duplicates, a replica.
Eesh.
And it's crazy. We don't know our food system because we've been so far removed, as you said, from the land, from the process, because we've been inundated and we've become so much of a consumer that we turned a blind eye and say, give me whatever I have. And I'm just going to act like it's real food, even though it's not, because we like the taste. And all these things are just having adverse effects to our health and everything.
Like animals. It's tough.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's different things as you begin, when you become more aware and you begin to be more learned, then you have to make better decisions. Because once again, the generations coming, we've already set things in motion. So the obesity, all this. When we were in high school, you remember they used to talk about the five food groups or the pyramid? If you go back and look at those pyramids, it shows you, like, I think sweets, the meats, fruits and vegetables were at the bottom, like, I think, like the third portion. Level. And then the biggest part of the food pyramid was breads and grains. So you can see what we should be eating is like flipped upside down, where it should be less of those and more of the stuff. I said, these people, where did this stuff come from? Back in the 90s. Policies. But they created policies and laws that people follow. And then they indoctrinate you. They teach it in schools. And it just keep coming. And it just becomes a norm. So these are the type of things that, once again, you have to have the ears and begin to really make yourself attuned and aware of what is going on here. Because this it doesn't even feel right in the body. So something has to be off in the spirit. We got to figure out what that is. But you got to be disciplined enough to actually take that step and have that level of discernment and that level of commitment to figure out what's going on. Because life hinges on it. When there's no knowledge and there's no truth, we're lost as a people. And this is what we have to do as a people. Brothers and sisters who really ascribe and say you are in that walk. Nah, this is that extra effort you have to put in, because there's a lot at stake here. And we see it on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot of lost sheep out there that just don't know. And they're trying to find a way, but who is the voice of reason? How are they going to be led? Who's going to be the teacher?
To your point, that's why the Most High has called us to do our part. Out of Ashan, since the years of the return, 2020, which is 400 years, 420 times 20 is 400. Most High is helping us to see through the codes, through the meander, through the deception, to see the realities. And some of it is shocking that you believed what you believed, or that you trusted so blindly of people that you thought had your best intent because of the way that they communicated to you. But the scriptures did tell us that that the serpent and his children have come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we look throughout history, we see a systematic way that they have gone through, colonized, capitalized, plundered, left to ruins. People groups, like we're seeing right now, people are being annihilated in the name of whatever the reasons are. And that will be held into account. That's the one thing that these groups have not understood, that everything in nature, naturally, what comes around goes around. And I always would challenge people when I would drive Lyft, and I'll leave that as we close. Do you think Afro peoples will ever amount to their strength again? Do you think they'll ever get themselves together? That's the question I leave to people. And I say, while you have an opportunity, it might be good to do good. Do different than your ancestors. Be the good ancestor. Follow that pathway. Because if you care at all, if you have the sense at all, your grandchildren may pay for this. Mm. But the Most High will have mercy on those whom he has mercy on. That's not just to European peoples. I'm talking to even Afro snitches and people who are just going along to get along. If you can't beat them, you can't. Why not join them? All those, he said judgment starts at the house first. So their time is coming, and we're seeing it happen in the pop cultural spaces, but it's going to happen on a larger scale. And the wars of rumors of wars are about to intensify. But he said, don't be afraid and don't worry, because this must take place when a system is being destroyed or changed. And that's why this 2030 agenda is being pushed and propelled in one way. But we, his people, must stay in the spirit, stay alert, stay knowledge based, and stay out of emotion, and stay focused on what the Most High has called us to do. We'll catch you on the next podcast.